to the changes between, if you wish, whatever the time constraints are, I could go through the sections of the Judiciary Committee substitute, I think fairly quickly.
So any questions of Chris and Todd?
So we're dealing with the, just the fiscal aspects of this, all right?
And also the bills, Chris and Todd.
All right, what is the fiscal implications on this one?
This one?
Yeah.
As I stated earlier, this one has a fiscal impact of $897,000, Chris and Todd. And that also, that they stated also in FY4, there's needed $6.9 million for beds. I think it was 113 beds.
All right, this is, you know, there's a bill up here earlier, 611, that I had some questions about, but it was turned out that I shouldn't be concerned about anything but the fiscal implications of it, so you moved it out before I had a chance to get back up to the committee here. So apparently what we'll deal with on 535 is the fiscal implications of the subject that the Judiciary Committee's handed up to us.
Chairman.
I have a proposed amendment.
Who's your state?
Just for the record.
Okay. Is there any questions of Mr. Cook? Is there any questions? The House is prepared to entertain any amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is a person in the audience, Mr. Evans, who could speak to the amendment if the committee is interested. This is the amendment that would make it illegal for people to sell devices that are designed to intercept, to pirate the signals of pay television, particularly in the Anchorage area. This is getting to be pretty rampant. In our files in Judiciary, we had copies of newspaper ads where there's a picture of a pirate and a guy saying, you know, come to my store and buy this and you can intercept this pay television thing and not have to pay the people that are paying for the separate microwave channel, that are paying for the satellite to send it to their receiver dish, they're paying all the costs of installation and everything else, putting those programs out, and you know, essentially what's happening there is those people who are doing that, they're violating the law, but it's very difficult to prosecute individuals. You've got 4,000 individuals who have purchased these things, and you have to. It's a civil fine, and so you have to go to civil court, and so you've got 4,000 cases, and I don't know how many attorneys you'd have to have, and you have to prove the guy's intent and all this, so it's almost impossible to police it on an individual basis. The attempt here is to make it so that these people that are trying to circumvent it, and really encouraging people to violate the law by these ads, cannot sell them. And so that I think that's a very reasonable thing to do. The people like myself who are paying for that service are having to carry the freight for these other people that aren't paying for it. So I object to that, and I think we ought to add this back in. A couple of people had problems with this in the Judiciary Committee, and that's why it didn't get back in, although it was voted on twice. One was that a couple of people were just against it, just philosophically. I think the chairman had a problem because Representative Martin said that he had a bill that he was going to attach this to, and he didn't want her messing with the subject that he considered was one of her subjects, and so I think that's a part of the problem that she had with it. And Representative Phillips said that he had a meeting in his district where a lot of the people that are selling and installing these pirate antennas are situated. And he felt that he should back up his constituents and not vote for anything that they'd be opposed to, because they, of course, want to continue to get this this free free service without having to pay for it. So this merely just puts legislation in which would allow them to stop these guys from selling it. It's the same thing that's being done in other places. It's a concept that if you're going to have pay TV, they have to have a way to police it, and a guy ought not to be able to sell a microwave antenna. Now, these things that they're selling cannot pick up anything else. They're designed for a specific frequency, so it's not like we're going to prohibit other things. There was a great deal of concern with people in the rural areas picking up satellite. That's been resolved. There's been a great deal of concern about people that the ham radio operators had a real problem and had to quite raise quite a bit of stir, and now their leadership has agreed that the bill takes care of their problems. All the amendments for those things are in here, and I think Mr. Evans could go through it line by line and explain it if the committee wants, but that's the short version of it, and I would move and ask the National Senate for the adoption amendment.
Object.
Mr. Chairman.
Objecting. Did you say there's somebody to explain the
Mr.
amendments?
Evans is here.
Just for the next place. Representative Chappell.
Yes, you said something about ham radio operators.
I think Mr. Evans could give you the best explanation of that.
Yeah, would you stay for anybody? Representative Cotton?
Right. Well, what happened, Russ, was that the district committee wouldn't adopt this amendment.
Correct.
So you think we ought to stick it in at finance.
Right.
Well, I think that's inconsistent with what the remarks you had on the last bill was up there, that we should be concerned about anything with the fiscal implications.
No, I didn't say that. I just said I wish that we wouldn't. Because I didn't think it needed any changes.
Please, would you come up? And speaking to the amendment that's placed before each finance member's.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Gordon Evans. I am Attorney General. I represent Visions, Multivisions, Inc. We also have spoken with Spectrum and Fairbanks, which is the other business in this particular industry in Alaska. Generally, what we've had trouble is with, as Representative Meekins indicated, people in effect just stealing the services that our people offered. And there has not been any attempt in the past to make a law prohibiting the selling of these devices. And trying to convict people under the theft of services statute that is presently in existence is, as Representative Meekins indicated, practically impossible to do because of the way the statute is worded. We have proposed, and meeting with the ham operator people, a change in the language which would eliminate any conflict between ham operators and people who are innocently receiving these signals, as can be done, and is permissible under the it's permissible to receive them but not to use them under the Federal Communications Act. What we would propose to do is to change this to read instead of satellite telecommunications, like we had got the bill through the Senate and it was worded in that bill. The ham operator people point out to us that what we really meant was electromagnetic signals, and that is one of the changes that we offer substitute in here now. Take out satellite telecommunications, refer to electromagnetic signals, which limits it specifically to the type of signals that are broadcast by Spectrum and Vision. Now, one of the other complaints that was originally raised was that the type of service, the type of crime we were proposing to make under theft of services, adding to there, would have made it range anywhere from a Class B felony to a Class B misdemeanor. And there was some great objection to the fact that a person could be classified as a felon for receiving, in other words, these telecommunications signals. So what we had done there was to limit it strictly to a Class A misdemeanor for that, for receiving the services. For selling, it would be a Class C felony, if my recollection is correct. These people manufacture these antennas mainly in the state of Arizona right now, is where they're located, but they sell them all over the country, and they're claiming that they are not violation of the law. It's not a violation of the law to sell these or to use them when it is. It's plain old theft of services. The ham operator people, as I say, were concerned that the antennas could be used to, which they would be using to receive the ham signals, could be also used to receive as television signals, and they might, they can focus on them. They're allowed to do that. I'm trying to think of the word when they're trying to line up their signals. They can use these signals to do that, but they cannot use them to watch the pictures and so forth. And so that's why we changed the terminology to electromagnetic signals. And that would also, that and the definition of the term services was to be expanded to include cable, microwave, subscription, or pay television, or any other commercial telecommunication service. We added the word commercial at the request of the ham radio people because they are amateurs, and what we are after are the people who are stealing commercial services, not those who innocently use the amateur services that are open to everybody. And if there are any specific questions, I'd like to
ask. Gordon, what it does? Representative Grobrick from Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, would this include people like, say, I want to buy a 3 to 5 meter dish with the low noise amplifier and all the paraphernalia that it takes to get a signal into my home from, say, Alaska Cable System or Fairbanks or Space Coast down in Florida, wherever they sell these things. Could I still do that?
We are not, this would not affect satellite telecommunications. Will you receive signals from satellites?
Yes.
No, this would not affect that. I could tell you that anybody who intercepts from the satellites without permission is in effect violating, at this point anyhow, violating the federal copyright law. That, I understand, is subject to, in Congress, of another bill there. But technically, at this time, you'd be violating federal copyright law. Mm-hmm. But our amendments here would, by using the terms electromagnetic signals, would eliminate specifically what you're talking about.
So we're safe on that?
Yes.
Okay.
Representative Fuller?
Thank you. Gordon, I don't still understand on the ham operators. They're all assigned frequencies, their own frequencies that they operate on. Now, is this causing some problems with the ham operators?
No, it's transmitting is what they have the frequencies to do. But for receiving, as they point out, the airwaves are free to everybody to receive. And they use them when they want to, and I still can't think of the word, but where they're trying to fine-tune their frequency, make sure their equipment is working by doing so. And they are within such a close range of the gigahertz, 2.5 to 2.65 gigahertz on the microwave band. They're so close to where the microwave transmitting is taking place that they can receive these.
So mechanically, it is causing them some problems, the operators with this electromagnetic.
Yes, but by using the term electromagnetic signals, which was the term they came up with, Mr. Frederick Hoskinson here in Juneau, who is a former president of the Anchorage Ham Operators, is now president of Juneau Ham Operators, and the founder of KTOO here, and an expert in this field, indicated to me that if we use the term electromagnetic signals, we would be being very precise on the type of thing we're trying to outlaw the use of. And no ham operator should have any problem with that terminology, because we are referring to signals that are sent from a base station in the lower 48 up to a satellite, shot back down to the receiver station of Spectrum and Visions, and then goes from there out on certain electromagnetic signals to the people who are paying for the services.
He's talking about the frequency.
So it should not have any problem with those people.
So any further questions? Representative Carney?
I'm relatively unlearned about this process. These signals that are shot down after they bounce from the satellite, are they available all over the state of Alaska, or just in Anchorage and Fairbanks?
Right now, Fairbanks have the towers that they receive the signals and they send them out, and it's from the tower up high. And Anchorage, I think it's up in the foothills, and I'm not sure where it is in Fairbanks, but people have buy these antennas, and usually you buy them from Spectrum or from Vision, and these antennas are aimed toward the tower, transmitting tower of the and that's how you get it. And if you happen to have an antenna that's set in the way these pirate antennas are, you can then just aim your antenna at the tower and intercept the signals. And that is that in effect is a crime too. That's theft of services. You're taking it with the intent to defraud the people who have to provide this commercial service. As Governor Meekin pointed out, it would be practically impossible to go back and catch 4,000 people and prosecute them. It would still be a crime for them to do so. But the idea of what Visions and Spectrum people feel is that if they're able to take on the seller of these antennas, the sellers, and get convictions with those, and then publicize those convictions, that's going to make honest people, hopefully, out of those who have otherwise been stealing the services.
So this signal is only available where it's transmitted?
That's right. Here in general, that's right now, we do not have a problem.
We don't have a problem?
Not with this one, because we are hardwired in general on the cable. And this is how signal is going to.
What is the cost of providing that signal?
I believe that in Anchorage, the service is 30.
No, no. Mm-hmm. The total cost of the company that provides the vision.
Mr. Gould of Multivision advises me that his company is losing. I can't tell you what the total cost. They're losing $40,000 a month to these fire antennas. And that's $500,000 a year for a single business.
That's based on the retail value of the projection. I'm interested in what it costs to get it to the satellite and down the tower.
I have no way of telling you this stuff. I could find out for you.
Mr. Chairman?
I've got a couple of people in front of you, Ribson, please.
Ribson,
Cotton, and Venicewood.
$40,000 is what Visions is losing each month. So.
Yes.
Under this proposed amendment, the person who buys the device, I suppose what you call it, the antenna that's required to pick the signal up, under the current law, they are they operate this and receive the signal without paying for it. They are guilty of what right now?
Well, right now the statute says it runs anywhere between a depending on the amount of the services that you actually steal.
What about the person that has the antenna sitting on the side of his house, and whether he's bought it from somebody or he's made it himself, he's picking up this signal from Visions without paying for it. What's he guilty of?
That's what I'm saying. Right now, depending on the value of the service that you take, and I assume it would be based on monthly cost and how you do it, it could range anywhere from a Class B misdemeanor all the way up to a Class B felony. And the idea of what our...
What would make that difference? I mean, if you got it for only 1 month and it was $40, then that would be a Class B misdemeanor.
Right?
That's right. But if they could prove he'd been doing it for 10 years, then the accumulated value would be put him up to a B felony.
Well, technically you couldn't do that because you have a statute of limitations of how long you can go back
But is that how it gets up to a felony?
Because that's right. Up to $25,000 and over, then you're up to a Class B felony.
Okay. Now, under the provisions of this proposed amendment, would that change?
Yeah, we would suggest that the unlawful use of the entertainment services listed in AS 1181-900B50, which is the definition we have here, would be limited to a Class A misdemeanor.
A misdemeanor. So you're actually increasing the penalty for the user then?
No.
From a B misdemeanor to an A misdemeanor.
You're limiting it to one particular.
Right, but you're at least increasing it in some cases.
It could be.
Okay, now, what about the person who sells these devices right now? Is he doing that legally?
He says it's legal. It's not legal. Anytime you're aiding and abetting a crime, it's not legal. And that's what you're doing. You're aiding and abetting the theft of services. And what this would do is to cut that off, would make the person who sells these devices with the intent to defraud it. Now this is the idea. They got to have the intent to defraud the person who's providing these services. And you show that intent to defraud by the fact that people advertise you can receive these services free of charge legally without putting in anybody else's problem. That's the way you show
what
intent.
What would be the penalty in that case?
It would be a... I think it's Class C felony.
C felony. If you didn't advertise, if you just had them on the counter.
If you didn't tell anybody what they were for, or what they could be used for like that, that's where the intent of the fraud comes in under the statute. You got to do it with the intent to tell those people they can get these services. And also, these devices are designed to intercept cable, microwave, subscription, or pay television, or any other commercial.
But we're basically talking about visions here. Bob, you could tell, selling service to one guy, and then the guy that lives next door either makes or somehow obtains an antenna to pick the signal up. So we want to make sure that guy that at least is liable for a misdemeanor. And if a guy down the street selling a how-to kit or a finished product, then he's he can be convicted of what C felony is. That's basically it.
The seller would be convicted of felony, not the user.
What's your pleasure? Representative Pettisworth?
I just wanted to point out that the gentleman with the camera back here is vitally interested in this subject in as much as he's the owner of Spectrum in Fairbanks. I didn't know that he was going to show up down here today. So if you really want an expert witness, we have one in our midst.
There's an amendment before you, Representative Chukwa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If it is a violation of the law, why does FCC not enforce it as he purported?
It's my understanding that because of several reasons. I think one is the U.S. Attorney's Office would have to do the enforcement on it. And they are so understaffed, and they've got what they, I guess, consider more important things to do, like seizing ships and prosecuting processor ships and so forth. And there is the movement in Congress under the present federal administration to deregulate these businesses. And that would be... the FCC would be getting out of the business if this happened.
I personally really have never known FCC to be understaffed or in overworked.
No, I'm not talking about the FCC. I'm talking about the U.S. attorney who would be the one. See, these are criminal law violations, and that would be the business of the U.S. attorney to prosecute.
Okay, we have the amendment before.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not done yet. Number two, I'm an amateur radio operator myself, or commonly known as ham radio operator. And I don't know why the American Radio Relay League that was endorsing what you're saying, or who those ham radio operators are. And what their affiliation is with these type of services, why they would endorse supporting this amendment as before us. They're completely two different subjects, although they use a similar, what do you call it, electromagnetic signals. It sounds like to me we're trying to create criminals out of eavesdroppers. That's essentially what we're trying to do by amending this bill before us, is to make criminals out of eavesdroppers. It's almost like saying you're not supposed to speak a foul language in public. Okay, that's fine. But it almost seems to me that we're including the people that listen to that type of language, criminals also.
If I might respond, Mr. Chairman, I think that it's like Mr. Hoskinson said, it's not a crime to receive it, it's to use it after you receive it. You know, an eavesdropper is one who maybe receives it. But whether he turns around then and continues eavesdropping, then maybe he is a criminal.
Then maybe he is a criminal.
What he's doing.
Then he is, maybe he is a criminal.
No, I say if what he's done is, if the eavesdropper, say, overhears you talking about some secret legislation, and he uses that to go convince someone else illegally, to get a bill passed or something done in that legislation, by everybody on call, then he's used it illegally. You know? That's making him the unlawful. That's the only kind of analogy I can think of while I can.
Well, if he reproduces what he receives, it becomes illegal. But if he uses for his own personal use, that's another different matter, subject matter.
Well, my conversation with Mr. Hoskinson didn't indicate that.
With who?
Bunch of thieves.
Mr. Who?
Hoskinson. Frederick Hoskinson, who is the sales head of the ham radio group up here.
I still don't find the correlation because, like I said, I'm a ham operator myself, and I am current, and I don't see any correlation between the two subjects.
Well, if I had longer time, President Chuckle, maybe I could discuss that, but I know.
Thank you.
We have the amendment before you. Is there any further discussion? If not, all in favor of that motion signify by raising your hand. One, two, three, four, five. All opposed? Five to five.
How many do we have?
Somebody did not vote. Let's take this vote off. Let's take this vote off. All in favor of the amendment signify by raising your hand. All opposed? Motion failed. We have the bill before you at this time. Is there a motion? There's a motion to move committee substitute for Senate Bill number 55535, Judiciary Amendment out of committee. Is there any objection? No objection. Sorted. The last bill we're going to take up today is Senate Bill 150. For you, I've got a committee, House committee substitute for Senate Bill number 150. And it's an act appropriating for capital projects and providing for effective date. These particular projects have been out in the open, but except the only thing that hasn't had is the amount of money for the projects on the House side. It has been printed with the Senate, and it has the capital budget in different areas had public hearings, as mine has. It has gone before different communities, and these are their requests, as far as I can say, for my district.
What are we supposed to have here? This printed sheet and this?
And this in front of it, yes, Representative Tottenham. When it comes off to the final floor, it'll be all into one package there, Representative Tottenham.
What's the total amount of the bill?
The total amount of the bill, Representative Tottenham, for the House capital is $100 million, even. The one on the Senate side, Representative Cotton, which includes it, is $99,500,000. So your total package for the bill would include both Senate and House on it would be $199,500,000.
How much is in House Bill? So House Bill 150 is an appropriation for how much?
For total, for the House capital budget is $100 million. The Senate capital budget is $99,500,000, and that's on your last page, Representative Cotton.
Right, but so but you've got the Senate and the governors and the House figures all on this sheet here. So I'm asking, how much money are we appropriating?
The only thing we're going to
committee substitute for House Bill 150.
The only thing we're going to appropriate at this particular time would be the House and the Senate.
So
the governor is going to appropriate for himself $130 million.
Mr. Chairman, I'm also interested in how to read this. On page 4, you'll find that it says state loan program has got lists the governor's amended in the governor's number. I'm wondering if that's going to be part of the motion because the House has already passed an appropriation for loans.
The only numbers that we're interested at this particular time is it's not the governor's or the governor's amended. The only numbers we're interested is the House and the Senate numbers.
Everything
else is void.
That's correct.
So House Bill 150 appropriates $199,500,000.
That's correct, Representative Cotton. Mm-hmm. Is there any questions, Representative Cotton?
Well, this is the first time I've seen this, so I would like to have some time to take a look at it. Maybe I will have some questions. How much time do you think I'll have?
You've got 10 minutes.
10 minutes, and we're talking about $100 million of appropriations. That's the first time that it's been, first time I've been able to look at it. Like 10 minutes. Huh?
That's correct. And there was many of the people here that didn't have a chance to look at the $709 million last year that was put together on a capital project. But at least this has been out for days without the figure on the House side.
What's been out for days?
The Senate budget.
The Senate budget, yes.
Which included the House projects without numbers on it.
The computer file had to.
Yeah, had the list of projects.
Well, as I pointed out earlier, Mr. Chairman, I think that we should have learned a lot from last year. I think that's probably not the most appropriate way to put together a large spending package.
We should know.
By giving me 10 minutes to see, 10 minutes is $10 million a minute. I'm not really sure that I'm going to be able to make a very intelligent assessment of what's in this budget in 10 minutes.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Bettisworth?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know how the other districts went about putting together their modest capital budget this year, but my district, which composes 6 members, have had a computer print out on this for at least 3 weeks. In fact, it was published in my hometown paper 2 weeks ago. And if the other districts had gone the same way, why, it's certainly been public information for a while.
Representative Bettisworth, are you saying that the 6 members of the House members from your district had participated in putting the capital budget together with your municipality?
That is correct.
Representative Cotton, would you say your district participated with your priorities from your particular district?
Mr. Chairman, that's a fact. You know, we've got the delegation has worked together. I think we've got, I've been able to review about $8 or $9 million that'll go into my district. I'm ready to vote for that. I've had a chance to review it. We've had public hearings on that at home on a different capital project. But I noticed that there are some areas of the state that are completely left out, and other appropriations that just because they don't go in my district, they do go in the town I live in. I haven't had a chance to see those. I don't think anybody that has made the Anchorage capital budget, as an example, public yet. So this would be the first opportunity for anybody to review the Anchorage capital budget, to my knowledge, for public review in any case.
The only concern you have, Representative Cotton, is in the Anchorage District. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, that's not true, Chairman. I used that as an example. Spending $100 million we spent throughout the state, we all have a responsibility to know what we're spending money on, and I think it would be improper for anyone to give any recommendation without having had a chance to review. In the past, there's been appropriations for projects that weren't appropriate, in my opinion, and we didn't get a chance to see them until it was too late and the money had already been spent. And that's one of the problems that y'all are going to have if you end up voting for this without knowing what you're voting for. Maybe that you're spending money on something that you don't really approve of. And because you're seeing your own district, doesn't mean that you think it's proper to spend public money on something that's in somebody else's district.
One of the problems I have as a rural member is I have a hard time knowing what the priorities of different areas districts, but I do know what my needs are in my districts, and any legislature or any staff member is welcome to travel around with me to my district when I do it in September and December.
That's not really a very good answer.
I'll take you up on that.
You've been there.
I'll give money, right?
Well, I know that nobody's going to be kidding anybody else here. You're not going to let me go through these projects and determine whether or not You know, I think the other day we spent, you know, probably a half hour deciding whether to spend $50,000 on a couple of bills, and now you're going to spend, you know, $100 million without any review. I'm making sure that I'm making my point on that.
Just got some couple of little point.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I move that we report the bill out.
We have the motion is to move House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 150, Finance, out of Finance. Is there any objection?
Well, I had 10 minutes.
Sorry, Sam. There's objection. Let's get a few more minutes there.
I mean, got through the 100. Run through the 100 million.
Mm-hmm. He is. Yeah, he's really got a hand.
You guys.
It's no money. Just a department of
Do.
Sir?
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 150, Finance. Is the objection still maintained?
Yeah. Question?
Question has been called for. All in favor of the motion, signify by raising your hand. All opposed? Motion passes. House Finance.
Yeah. I got one.
Close enough for government work. Let's go.
Let the record show that we have a quorum for this afternoon. Is the two bills, and we have three that was announced, but I won't take up the legal till I check on a couple legal matters on Senate Bill 744. Is one that has some legal costs regarding oil claims. The first one I'm going to take up is House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 103, and this is by Senator Katula. It had $170,000 for the Fishery Industrial Technology Center. But what happened is we've got some enabling legislation on the floor today, and so what we need to do is get an appropriation of $100 million for that piece of legislation, and now go for the Fishery Loan Fund. This would be guaranteeing of loans and would be taken generally out of the rainy day account. Is there any questions on it?
Yeah. Go ahead. This is the first time I've seen it, so I just wanted to hear maybe a little more of an explanation on it. Let me read it anyway.
Okay, fine. Let me get a couple copies.
We could reduce it by $170,000, didn't we?
Listen, we got them mad enough.
Throw
a little gasoline on there.
If he comes in here, we could make the motion and do it. Then rescind our action.
You're mean today, aren't you?
We all are today.
Section 5 of the 100 million. I thought we were pulling there's a bill that did about the same thing as something like 40 million.
No, this is the amount that was requested by, I believe, the committee that worked on it with the Senate, that appointed by the government, Senate, and then House members.
Well, I thought you said there's only $340 million in that account now. Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
What did they take the 10 off
of? Where does the extra 10 come from?
Pardon me?
I said there's only $340 in that account.
And you're only going to use $100 million of this for this fishery loan here.
Right. Yeah, if you reallocate, I shouldn't be telling you this, but if you reallocate, leave only 250 in there, that means you're only taking 90 out. Instead, what you're saying here, you're taking 100, so you're taking. No, never mind.
Sure.
I said I shouldn't have said.
Yeah. Representative Fuller?
There's no further testimony on this. Mr. Chairman, I move House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 103, Second Finance. Ask for unanimous consent.
So, there's objection. Any discussion? Representative Cuddy?
Mr. Chairman, I want to pursue Representative Cotton's thoughts here for a minute. Are we sure we have the right number here?
That's the closest number that we can get revenue at that time. What Cotton is referring to is that at one time we thought that fire suppression funds was taken out in between $5 and $10 million. And that's exactly what Representative Cotton is talking about.
So you're happy with this number, that we've got the right number here?
I'm happy with it. That could be double-checked again with Department of Revenue.
Send it to the second finance committee.
Yeah. But that's, you know, that was the figure that was always floating, that ripped and cut, and it referred to 340, and that it used to be 350, and they thought they took the thing. Finance. There was a sum of $100,000 appropriated for the general fund to the Department of Health and Social Services to use to combat the cause of and effects of birth defect. This bill was made by Senate Finance. What I've done is is put in the sum of $20 million appropriate from the general fund for the Federal Budget Impact Fund. This is the same language that was in House Bill number 872 that failed the other night on House floor. Yeah. Ripson Cotton. I mean, sorry, Ripson Fuller had just had.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move
I sign away, Mr. Hogan.
Bill number 737 Finance. Ask unanimous consent.
No. There's objection. Representative.
Do you have a finance substitute?
Yes. House Committee Substitute for Finance number 377,
right? Yeah. I'll give you mine. I don't want the damn thing anyway.
All right, I just want to check these guys out. That's what I was reading from. I'm not making it up.
It wasn't in his file.
Question?
Question?
Question has been called for. All in favor, signify by raising your hand. Opposed? Motion passes. I don't know what time we're going to have another recess this afternoon, but I'd like to have a short finance meeting. I want you to look at Senate Bill 744. It's a special appropriation for legal fees, and it's regarding the litigations with the different oil companies that we have. And we usually have one go to House Finance every year, like about this time. So this is the one I'd like for you guys to look at. Representative Cardi?
You don't want to take it up at this time?
No, I don't want to take it. We've got 20 minutes. Yeah.
Question?
You got a recess then?
Yeah, we're going to recess and come in this afternoon. Representative?
Are you going to offer a committee substitute on this issue?
I probably will. Probably will.
Good idea. What's going to go with this one? What's the subject matter to be considered on that issue?
Probably an added appropriation, Representative.
For what?
Just looking at this legal thing.
Another legal.
Another appropriation.
This here is what you try to leave on this deal here again.
It has to do with the operation of government today.
Yeah, so we're putting it back in using this.
At this time, we're going to recess till the call of the chair.
Good deal. Kind of order.
House Finance, please come to order. Let the record show we have quorum. This evening, we're going to take up committee substitute for Senate Bill number 744.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Cotton?
When was notice given for the time, place, and subject matter of the meeting on this bill?
This bill was announced on the floor this morning approximately 10:17, and there was no objections made on hearing this particular bill. It was announced it was going to be heard at 1 p.m. this afternoon. That meeting was postponed on this one. It was supposed to be held at 4:15. That meeting was postponed until tonight. At this particular time, Representative
Cotton. Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm protesting that you have a meeting on this bill. Rule 23A is clear that written notice of the time, place, and subject matters of all meetings of standing committees, which is this is one, during a week, shall be provided by the person who chairs the committee to the chief clerk or secretary by 4 p.m. on the preceding Thursday. It hasn't been done. I protest the meeting.
Thank you, Representative Cotton. I'll take that protest into consideration. We'll continue on with the meeting tonight. What I'd like to do is I've got before you a House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 744. this piece of legislation that was before you, it would start it off to be $5,684,750 for a special appropriation for legal fees and litigation costs related to oil and gas matters and providing for an effective date. What I got for you, I've got a House Committee substitute, an amendment to make, that I'd like to also place and pass around to the members, a compromise budget. At this time, I'd like a motion to move House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 744, and at the objections, and I would go into debate into detail. There's a motion to move House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 744 by Representative Ford. Is there objection?
I haven't seen the bill yet, Mr. Speaker, so I object.
Okay.
Here, now I have a bill in my hand. I assume this is the operating budget for about $2 billion.
That particular bill is for a budget of $1,657,000,000. I'd like to go the changes that were made. This committee heard before House Bill number 666. What I have done is I have incorporated all the state pay raises and the amount that was necessary to cover all state employees. I'd like to at this time go up, down through all agencies. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them at that time. In the office of the governor, the House's original figure was $15,697,500. The governor's amended figure was $17,735,500. I have placed that particular number as that number, the governor's amended.
I'm having a hard time following the difference between this and the other budget. We've got short forms available here. We can make a comparison.
Representative Jay Hogan, do we have...
No, sir. This is all we have. So, Mr. Chairman, do you intend to go through line by line to explain the changes?
I can. Let me have a couple minutes reset. Do you want me to go line by item?
I want to be able to understand what's in here. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, it would make sense to only go through the changes from the House budget that we've already passed. Since we're all aware of what's in there and we have documents that show what the House budget is, just any changes from the House budget. And then you could just say that anything that isn't mentioned is the same as the House figure.
Right, it'd be easier if I had there isn't any cut sheets on this, just the budget bill is all we have available, is that correct?
That's correct.
So how about if I get another document just like this, the bill, so I can compare the bill that the House already went out and note the changes, how's that?
Let's just take 1 minute break to get that.
Start through and note the changes. The new budget compared to the old budget.
That's fine. The changes that Representative Cotton is asking under the office of governor, the first change that was made, that we reinstated the status of the Woman Commission in the amount of $348,100. The other change that was made was down under the contingency, governor's contingency fund that was funded at the requested level of $750,000. There's just a little amount in the executive mansion. You also see under DPDP where where we had to take the $1 million out. That is funded at this particular time at $2,036,900. Going down further, you'll see that that is particularly all the changes that was made under the governor's budget to come up to that figure of $17,735,500.
The slight changes that you might see also for Representative Cotton is state employee increases. So any questions on that one?
No.
Going down to administration, the changes that were made under that, that we reinstated the Council of Science and Technology. The House original figure was zero. We reinstated that to
$255,800. Mr. Chairman, to ask you a general question that might go for all of these. What has been the treatment of the proposed pay raises, the $26 million that was proposed?
The treatment of those particular pay raises is, if we couldn't get them in time for their different category, we put them under the office of the commissioner of the administration.
But the pay raises are fully funded in the
fully system. Funded, that's...
People that are longer bargaining units and those who don't?
That is every state employee in the state of Alaska, whether it's non-collective or in collective bargaining. Representative Carty.
Mr. Chairman, it might help if you give the line the page number.
Okay.
On move rapidly.
Okay, we're under administration. As I...
You won't have it.
Yeah.
You've got a different...
Oh, you're different?
Yeah, it's...
Okay.
Okay. The other one that we made a slight change is we went up in aging grants to meet the governor's amended budget from $7,227,200 to
$7,367,200. Oh, no. Which, I think I've got
aging grants.
Yeah, what page and line number are
you
on?
It
would be page 8.
Oh, you got
it. And line number 9.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. The other next line that was changed was APOC. The House original figure was 100,000. The Senate's figure was 608. We went to the FY82 level of 423,700. Was a bit the difference there. The Statehood Commission, we had zeroed that out. We went up to the compromise, the governor's amended figure of 182,500. Data processing, we fully funded that at $13,055,700.
Right, where are you now?
I'm still under administration, Representative.
Line 8 on page 10.
Mr. Chairman. Page 132.
Okay.
Representative Meekins.
I'm sorry, did you mention Council on Science and Technology?
Yes, I did.
Thank you.
The next item under administration and the last item was risk management. The House original figure was $7,428,300. The compromise figure, we didn't put anything in there because that is a guesstimate and that goes into the general fund. The next item we come under is Department of Revenue. The one item under that was a permanent fund corporation.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not trying to slow you down here, but
not at all.
In I got Department of Law next, so.
Okay, I don't have any changes.
Okay, so you could just say that no changes in law.
Yeah, okay. No changes in basically the same as the governor's amended and the state version. The House had deleted all funds for pay raises, but what we've done was put them all in there. Okay? The next one was Department of Revenue, as I stated, the Permanent Fund Corporation. The House number was 588,900. We had placed that to the governor's amended figure of 1,066,900. The next item we went to was the education.
Mr. Chairman, before we leave that category. Am I right in seeing that the budget does include the same as the, it does include $71,300,000 for municipal assistance?
That's correct.
I
did not take municipal assistance or revenue sharing out of the complete operating budget. I kept it in it. And you are correct, Representative Meekins.
Thank you.
Department of Education. The first one, first change was the debt retirement for school. The house's number was 34,100,000. It went to the governor's amended budget of 36,203,300. The next item was the Student Leadership Development Fund. That number we had was 375,000. We went up to the compromise governor's amended figure of 750,000. Under foundation study, which was...
Just give me a line number, please.
Under the...
Student leadership.
Is the Allison? What line item is that under, please? Would you come up while I'm doing education? Would each of the fiscal analysts please come up when I'm going through those, in case there's just a question of what line that was under Student Leadership Development Fund. Was it under one of the commissioners?
Mr. Chairman, that is in line 84. It's Education Program Development.
Under K-12 Education Program Support.
Page 8,
line 84.
You have a different run.
You have the bill.
You have the bill? Okay.
It's under K-12 Education Program Support.
Page 15, line 26.
Is it not broken? The allocation for that isn't broken.
No, page 16, it's in line 7, Education Program Development.
What line?
Line 7.
Representative Cotton, under that, the House original figure was 375,000. We went to the governor's amended figure of 750,000, which fully funds the program. The next was a study that was requested on the Senate side for a foundation study. We originally had zero for that. The Senate had requested 560,000. We split the difference and put 280,000 into that particular category.
Is that the same thing? Is that under program development as well?
Mr. Chairman, that is in line 16 on page 16, planning information and research.
The next item was community schools. If you recall, we moved that off of line 12 and brought that down to line 114 on that. The house figure was 2,641.9. The compromise figure, we brought it up to 3,341.2. Vocational Rehab Administration. The House original figure was 586,700. We brought that up to the governor's amended figure of 749,500. The WICHE program. The House original figure was 971,100. I brought that up to the governor's amended figure of 1,592,500. The sewage skill center. The house original figure was 4,090,800. Brought that level up to the governor's amended figure of 4,571,100. Post-secondary commission standard loans administration.
Represent Cotton?
Yeah, I didn't keep up with you when you got to the sewer skill center. I didn't see that.
That's on 156, Represent Cotton.
Page 17, line 24.
You're going back and forth is where I am.
I see.
I'm sorry. After sewer skill center.
Post-secondary.
Post-secondary commission standard loan administration. The original figure that the House had was $1,379,800. We added $200,000 for temporary help, brought that up to $1,579,800. RSVP, Representative Cotton.
Okay, go ahead.
RSVP, the House original figure was $394,500. We split the difference on that. We went up to
$592,200.
Page 15, line 17.
Page 15, line 17?
I think so.
Financial support other?
Excuse me, okay. Yeah,
921.
Excuse me.
Alaska Arts Council. The House's original figure was $1,982,300. The compromise figure is $3,898,700. The next item I'm going to take up is health and social services. First place is institutional care. We placed $1 million back into that. The House original figure was $9,939,700. The figure that we went up to was $10,939,700.
Can I ask you to get a page in line when you do that, so that I'm having trouble keeping it.
Okay.
This apparently isn't the same sheet you were doing.
Allison?
Is that the bill you're looking at?
I'm looking at the bill, that's all I have.
Page 21.
Page 21, line 7.
While I'm reading these, would you give the page number, please? Child abuse program.
Mr. Chairman, that's on pages 20 and 21, spread through Family Services Administration, lines 20 through the line 6 on the next page.
We had placed originally zero, that is $150,000.
Is that a designated grant?
No, Mr. Chairman, that's full funding of positions within that budget request to help the child abuse.
The last one under that is a grant for $87,000, the smoking program.
Mr. Chairman, that's on page 23.
Mr. Chairman, I'll remind you that that got voted down as when it came up in committee.
That's correct.
Quite a lot of other these.
I'm just curious if I could ask right now, where and under what circumstances was this budget developed?
This particular budget?
Yes.
This was done solely by myself. Just by taking the fact that looking at the minority's 52 amendments that was made on the floor when we had House Bill 666 up, was also done by looking at the Senate's budget, the governor's amended budget, and the public's response to some of the needs that they felt that should be taken care of. And since we're adjourning this weekend, I felt that it was needed, another compromise budget was needed. The next thing we're going to take up is labor. We placed all the salaries in those particular items, and we distributed increased federal receipts in employment services and management.
Okay, once again,
labor.
Okay.
We just took care of all the salary increases through the whole thing, and distribution of increased federal receipts in employment services and management programs.
Okay. So you've included receiving federal funds, as you said?
That's correct.
Where does that appear?
Mr. Chairman, that's on page 28, line 8, under employment services. And again, on line 19.
Okay, that takes care of labor. The next item I've got down is the legislature. The House Leadership Fund, I placed $1,638,800. I put a compromise figure of the governor's amended figure of $4 million.
What was the original figure on that?
My figure was $1,638,800.
We've doubled the legislature's leadership budget.
That is correct.
Has the legislative leadership doubled its plans for spending money over the interim?
The coalition does not plan to spend money even if we place it in these particular items. We place this to at least compromise with the Senate's numbers. It does not mean that if the coalition felt we had the money, we're not going to spend the money just because we have it. The next item is the legislature.
As I recall, and in fact, our coalition was looking at cutting that even more, and we were pretty disappointed, but that is one of the compromises. The Senate's version was something over $30 million, as I recall, and there was quite a bit of pressure to stay with the House's version on that particular budget.
The Senate had $30 million in legislative leadership?
No, the overall budget was about $33 million.
31.
The next item I have is legislative finance. The House's original number was $2,145,700. I just added in there $100,000 in contractual, bringing the new number up to $2,245,700.
Which line is that appear on?
Mr. Speaker, or Mr. Chairman, while you're getting that place, was could you clarify whether that was a contractual for the House side or the Senate side?
That was split $50,000 for the Senate to $50,000 for the House. What line was that for Representative?
Mr. Chairman, the number that you see on page 48 of the bill, line 18, also includes the pay increase add back for legislative finance. So that $2,734,000 includes the $100,000 that you just spoke to and $95,500
for the increase. So the total, you add the legislative finance and committee expenses, is that where he came up with his number?
I believe his number was $2,734,000.
My legislature finance was $2,145,700 for the original House figure. The new number, compromise number, is $2,245,700.
My figure says $2,341,200 for the legislative finance and $488,700 for committee expenses. And that's two positions.
I just added $100,000 in contractual. That's the only thing I placed in there.
Mr. Chairman, I think the difference is that you also added pay raises with it when you explained that before. So
that's correct.
That's the only difference.
Is that what the difference there is?
So the breakdown of the committee expenses is two positions. So that's total. That's for House and Senate. There's only going to be two positions authorized.
No, that's not correct.
Mr. Chairman, the committee expenses here is the budget and audit committee. That's the budget and audit committee staff.
Okay. Oh, the legislative finance. Now, that's where you have the contractual. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so each house has how much contractual money?
$50,000 each.
Total?
Total. As you remember, that I took $250,000 contractual money out from the House finance and the Senate finance. So that's the only thing I'm putting is 50 each. The next item is legislature budget and audit. The House figure was $248,700. I have placed a compromise figure of $488,700, which majority of that goes into contractual there. The next one was the Senate Advisory Council. The House original figure was $300,000. The compromise figure is $500,000. The University of Alaska is next. For the University of Alaska, I've reached the governor's complete amended figure. I think that total number is, Allison, 238 million.
What's the
What is the total figure now that was with for the University of Alaska?
The general fund figure, Mr. Chairman, is $142,662,400. That includes the pay raises.
That includes the pay raises. The other items that have increased. Representative Cotton was under the Co-op Extensive Service, the Alaska Native Leadership Program.
Where is that?
That would, what line is that?
Page 52, line 21.
Mr. Chairman, this didn't appear in the original budget.
That's correct.
Do you have a breakout that after we get through this, of those items that are new adds as opposed to increased amounts?
Yeah, I couldn't get you that. There's only going to be about three or four of those, I think.
Smoking plenty of water.
Hmm?
You did it all by yourself, huh?
That's right. Landsat project under geophysical. That's $150,000. That would be under geophysical. What line did you put it under?
Page 50, line 26.
Mineral industry, $119,800.
Page 51, line 9.
Next one would be lease purchase of land in Anchorage, $1 million.
Mr. Chairman, that's on page 50, line 15.
The radio station, KUAC, the University of Alaska, $168,000.
Page 51, line 9.
That's it.
What was that one just before that? What line was that one just before?
It was page 50, line 15.
Commerce and Economic Development. All the pay raises have been placed on the line 100 on the tourism. The original figure was $5,640,700. Compromise figure was $5,790.7.
Mr. Chairman, that's page 30 on line 22.
That's the only item there. Natural resources. Since we shotgunned this one, I'm going to turn this over to you when we go through state fairs. And I'm going to turn it over to him because we did put money in different sections of the budget. You want to hit those, highlight those, please?
Mr. Chairman, the first edition of the bill on page 32, line 13, the pay raise, which is shown there in the text of the bill, $1,975,800. Also added in to the commissioner's office is $1,162,600 for the ANILCA projects, which were originally cut out of the House version of the bill.
That the $4.2 million includes the $1,600,000 for the
right.
Could you repeat the page,
the line, please? Okay, it's on page 32, line 13.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a breakout of the different sections of the NAPA that we'll get funded? Is there anything in there that we need those for?
Mr. Chairman, that figure is everything that was originally taken out. So the page 32 line 18. That's the line 17, the line the allocation is located on. The next change will be under timber inventory and sale, which is page 33, line 10. And there's a sum of $250,000 was added to construct Parkwood access roads in the greater Fairbanks borough area.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Cobb.
That's not an operating expense, is it? Road construction? Isn't that a capital item?
This timber inventory?
No, the firewood access road in the Fairbanks area.
In the Senate budget.
This is operational expense?
It just depends on how one defines the capital project.
Road construction.
Could be what
it is, right? Mm-hmm. Well,
this, I place that in for the Senate. Representative Cotton, did you have something?
I just was curious. Earlier you said you did this all by yourself. Now you said you were negotiating with somebody from the Senate.
Mm-hmm. No, this was on the Senate budget.
Oh, it was in the Senate budget.
That's mm-hmm. correct. I wish I could compromise with the Senate.
I guess this is one way to do it, but there are more traditional and more proven methods.
That's right. Continue.
Mr. Chairman, the next item is page 34, line 15, state affairs. Reinstated at the original requested amount, 333.1. That is the total for the Department of Natural Resources.
Okay.
The next department in the bill is the Department of Fish and Game. And the first edition there was in commercial fish, pin fish, page 34, line 22. And here, $600,000 was added to reinstate deleted projects in the priority order in which they were deleted. The next item is the FRED budget on page 35, supplemental productions, line 10. Here, $3 million was added to reinstate deleted projects, essentially the same approach is used here as was on the Tom Bell wind fish component.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Cutton.
Bob, what will this do to the several hatcheries throughout the state? Which ones of this funding plan will remain open? Which ones will be closed or mothballed? And which ones will be turned over to either private industry or non-profit hatchery associations?
Mr. Chairman, I understand there will be a letter of intent forthcoming on this to address that question. That is, the intent will follow the new figure, the figure that you see there. The total is 7.4.
That's right.
Yeah, 7.4.
So you'll show what's going to happen to each one of the hatcheries.
Yes.
That's my understanding. The next item is the commissioner's office, page 35, line 22. Here, the $2,328,000 was reinstated for the pay increase, and $2,200,000 was reinstated to cover the ANILCA projects that were originally deleted by the House. That's the extent of the changes in the Department of Fish and Game.
Mr. Chairman, just a real quick. The 2.3 was for the pay raises. And where is the ANILCA funds?
It's also in that same figure for the commissioner's office.
It just isn't noted there.
It isn't noted, that's correct. It will be noted in a short form, but it did not print in the bill. That's all for Fish and Game. If you wish, I can do the Department of Environmental Conservation.
Why don't you, while you're up?
Okay, it's page 44, line 20. And here you just have the $567,100 for the pay increase that was reinstated. And that's the total amount changed in the Department of Environmental Conservation.
Thank you. The next one is public safety. There's two changes made in public safety. We placed all the pay raises, and also the two changes was in Fish and Wildlife Protection. The House original figure was $7,666,900. We went up to $7,984,400. We deleted the 10 temporary stream watchers and added 10 enforcement officers, but these are still not new positions. Domestic violence. The House's original figure was $2,930,800. The compromise figure, $3,255,800. On this one, is I'm going to put some legislature intent language that increased the grant lines for shelter programs to FY82 level. But I would like it note that to delete the funding for the Men Emergency Now program, Juneau Women's Resource Center, Anchorage Resource Center, and the Valley Women's Resource Center. And that's a stipulation that the state money cannot be used for lobbying. That takes care of the public safety.
Yeah. The only other thing, Mr. Chairman, was the pay increases.
Yeah,
that
the pay
would
increases.
Since the Valley Women's Resource Center is in my district, I need some clarification. You're saying you're going to totally delete those programs?
No. The funding.
There'll be no funding at all for those programs?
That's correct. The other program do you have?
Oh, I have a question on public safety. Yeah, in anticipation of the, what was it, 586, the transfer from public safety to weights and measures at the weigh stations. What kind of contingency are we assuming there? I noticed a list of bills here that have fiscal notes. I assume you're going to fund those in this bill as well?
That's correct.
Well, so if a bill doesn't appear on here, you're assuming that it's not going to pass, or you're deciding not to fund it, one of the two?
That's assuming that it's not going to pass. That's correct, Representative Cotton.
Mr. Chairman, in the Department of Military Affairs, the only change that the committee will find there is for the pay increases, and that money was added to the Office of the Adjutant General for the Affairs Department.
What page do I have that?
You have it?
Yeah.
It was $126,800 was the total. The other item, if you want to go into it, Mr. Chairman, is the court system.
Right.
And in that particular area, the committee added back $1,334,000 for fiscal year 1983 pay increases. That's the only change there.
The last two items that we have. Do you have community and regional affairs?
No, sir.
Or transportation? Either community and regional affairs. All salary increases have gone in here. We've gone through the first four items and placed all the money in the senior citizens tax relief program.
Mr. Chairman, that is on page 46, lines 7 through 11.
And fully funded those four programs there. Child assistance under daycare, the original figure was $5,947,000.